The News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem.
And KCNR Shasta Reading 705. We may be taken off the air due to some technical difficulties. We will keep broadcasting for as long as possible, but just an advisory that we may be pulled off the air with no warning. We will resume normal programming just as soon as possible.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It appears that our sister station is having some problems down at the tower, and they had to turn all of us off to fix that. So we'll be putting that on our chat. We'll put that on chat room there for people that are in that way there, Bobby. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 at 7:07 in the morning. Good morning. It's the 9th of June today, and I'm trying to get all this thing together. Hey, 77 degrees out there right now, going up, to, looks like, to a high of 104. I'll be happy about that. It's currently, like I said, around 77 degrees, but I think probably by the time our show's over, it's going to be up in the mid-80s if it goes the way it does. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers, though, and thunderstorms after 11 p.m. On Wednesday, a slight chance of showers with thunderstorms. Also possible after 11 p.m. Wednesday night, 20% chance of showers. Thursday, sunny and hot with a high near 102. Thursday night, mostly clear. Friday, sunny and hot near 104. Friday. And Saturday, high near 102 and a low around 70. So, you know, it's going to cool down a little bit on Sunday when you get down to 95. So, in other words, it's going to be a hot week, even with this chance of rain. So let's just hope we get the rain. We obviously need it. Weather's always brought to you by our friends at Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer, a veteran-owned business that gives senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. I'm in a little bit of a quandary here because we get a phone call right before the show starts saying that, hey, we're going to have to turn this off for a while. So I'm not sure when we come back on. So we've got all the radios turned on in the other room just to see when that's happening. But we've got a lot of things to talk about. Of course, they turn it off at 7 o'clock in the morning when the show starts instead of at 6:55 during the news when they could do that. But I guess that the other station was having problems for longer than that. Okay. Well, good morning. Hey, today we're going to have a guy by the name of John Hart on. We're going to give him a call at 7:30 and be talking to him on Hillary's problems that are much more than just scandals. And if you're thinking to yourself, how can it be worse than that? Well, according to him, they can be much worse, and we're going to discuss that when he comes on at about 7:30. At 8 o'clock, we have the chief of all of the Northern Division, California Highway Patrol, will be with us, Ruben Leal, and also Captain Todd Garr, who is a captain right here for the Reading Division. Bad Bob?
By the way, comment to the person in the PM me in the chat room saying they can't see chat. Well, I can't see their name either. So if you have trouble with the chat room, the best thing to do is to reboot your computer and restart your browser, because it's usually an issue with Flash, which is the thing that makes all the pretty pictures happen.
Uh-huh. Okay, there's some things that are happening here. Oh, the Reading Pro-Am, the 43rd annual Reading Pro-Am, is going to be conducted here to benefit the Shasta County Special Olympics. It starts on Thursday with the kind of a media group that are out there for nine holes. And then they have, of course, Friday is the big one. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday. They're playing Monday also. And like I said, all the money goes to the Special Olympics. Now, I believe all the foursomes are filled up, but you can still put your business out on, have a sign out on either the tees or the putting greens out there, and you give them a call at Dennis Ellis at 941-2433. It's 941-2433. Talking about participating in the Special Olympics there. The Amtrak exhibit train is coming to Dunsmuir for Railroad Days. It's going to be there on the 13th of June, this Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you get to meet the Amtrak representatives at the station and hop aboard for a free self-guided tour through Amtrak's past, present, and future. And for the kids, they have a Chuggington Kids Depot featuring toy trains and coloring books. And after touring the train, explore the festivities featuring kids' activities and live music. For more details, check out Amtrak.com/exhibit train on that. Sounds like a lot of fun up there. On June the 21st to July 11th, but it starts June 21st at the Mount Shasta Mall inside by Penny's, will be a pictorial display of all those service people from California who sacrificed their lives in the defense of our country. It's going to be an opening ceremony on June 21st at 2 p.m. It's sponsored by the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Unit 2001, and Ladies Auxiliary, NorCal Veterans Hospital Association, and Families Honoring Our Troops. And this is a, like I said, it's going to be going on for about 3 weeks and exhibited, and it's sponsored by Bellevue University also. So something we'll be talking a lot about. All right, some of the things are happening on. You know, we can talk about the that Marine. You were talking about it in the news. Ruben, was it Peralta?
Yeah.
Was his name.
Yeah.
And what happened is during the battle, I believe it was in Iraq? He said it happened in that he entered a building along with his fellow Marines, and the firefight was mortally wounded. And fell to the ground, and the Al-Qaeda breaking contact through a hand grenade. And he took the hand grenade and he pulled it into his body, shielding his fellow Marines from the blast, where, of course, this killed him. And finished what Al-Qaeda had started. The Marines that were there and saw what he did wrote him up for that. His command looked at it. They endorsed it. It went all the way up to the Commandant of the Marine Corps. And to receive the Medal of Honor, this is not something they take on just one person's word. They investigate it. The services investigate it. They look at everything that has to do with this, every part of it that has something has to happen with it. And then, only then will they recommend and forward this to the SecDef.
So they don't just hand this thing out.
No. This isn't something that, you know.
This ain't a Gedunk medal.
No, this isn't something that I was there medal. No, not at all. This is something that is researched for a long time, and they look at it from all different aspects of it. Well, Peralta was put in for the Medal of Honor by the United States Marine Corps, and he gets up into the SecDef, into his area, and a bureaucrat someplace up there says that, well, you know what, we think that he was dead before he did this. Even though that the Marines on the scene, the guy making the statement wasn't there. The Marines on the scene said, no, he pulled that into him. He knew what he was doing. And in there, in a bureaucratic decision, they took the Medal of Honor and downgraded it to a Navy Cross, the second highest, you know, the second highest award that can be given to or that's earned by a serviceman. And the family refused to accept it. For 10 years, the family fought this. And they said that, you know what, he'd been put in for it. His men with him said he deserved it. The Marine Corps said he deserved it. And the SecDef would not accept it. And then another Secretary of Defense came in, and it went up up to the same channels, and then he agreed with the downgrade of the medal. So the family finally, the family relented, and they were awarded the medal here last week. I saw it on a press release from 1st Marine Division. But here's the thing, which kind of offends a lot of people. The men on the ground that were there watching this happen saw him do it. He pulled that hand grenade into himself to shield his fellow Marines from death or injury. They saw it. They all testified to it. And yet, and then after the investigation done by combat Marines and Marines in the chain who revere this medal, would not just hand it to somebody. They also said, okay, he deserves it. The Commandant of the Marine Corps, after the research, says this man deserves it. And a bureaucrat someplace in the bowels of the Pentagon. And let me tell you what, the bowels perfectly describes the people that made this decision that were inside the bowels of the Pentagon made that decision. Frankly, it makes, you know, sometimes you wonder about higher headquarters when they're, you know, when I see some of the things the Secretary of Defense has done and some, and the former chief of staff, you know, the Armed Forces chiefs of staff. Oh no, we have to do this. Oh no, no, it's good for you. It's good for you, you military guys. Oh no, no, this is good for you. Take those pay cuts. Get, lose your benefits. Hey, let's lessen the standards. No, 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 no. Yeah, no, no, no. Obama has nothing to do with this. Obama has nothing to do with this. Yeah, right. We could just go in for a whole hour of that. But before we do that, we're going to take a break. Good morning. I hope we're back on the air, but we're going to be checking on it. We'll be right back. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460.
Exploration Park invites you to experience the brand new riparian forest adventure. Explore the forest around Turtle Bay like never before as you travel from the museum to Paul Bunyan's forest camp. The new riparian forest adventure gives guests a new view and fresh experience with the wonderful world we live in as you make your way to and from the forest camp with interactive and educational activities along the way. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I have seen a big increase in the ethanol-free 93, so everyone's starting to do yard work. So come on in and fill up your jugs. We got another load of barbecue bottles in, so come in and grab an extra one. We just got a fresh load of race car fuel and methanol. For all the off-highway tractor guys, red diesel, hydraulic oil, grease in barrels and tubes. We do sell bulk oil. If you need a quart or 55 gallons, we got you covered. If you need an extra storage tank, give us a call. We have a few used ones and comm vaults. Northern Lights Energy, where you can still talk to real people and not answering machines. Farm, ranch, logging, and construction. We cover them all. Corning, Weaverville, Redding. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. We're back. We've been back for a while. You know, what happens is our sister station is on the same tower we are on. They were having problems, and so to fix their problem, they have to bring the tower down. Well, unfortunately, when they bring the tower down, they have to turn the transmitters off and reset the other station. When they do that, unfortunately, we get turned off too, because they've got to turn all the electricity off to reset that one. There's only one way of getting it in. You're saying, well, why don't you run a separate set of wiring in there? Well, we can't. It's just you don't do that.
It's a co-located tower. And trust me, having been bitten in my career by a radio transmitter, it's not an experience I care to repeat.
It will fry all the hair off your body. Anyway, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked a top 100 hospital in the nation for the last 3 years in a row. Their cardiac unit is in the top 50 in the nation. Shasta Regional is treating people well. Outstanding. It's their 70th year. Great people down there. If you want to get treated quickly in a hospital in Reading, in the emergency room, head to Shasta Regional Medical Center. All right. We talked about the Marine and happened. Let's talk about traffic tickets for a second.
Okay.
And then we can go into that. Well, I tell you what, let's do the law enforcement thing first. Yesterday, in the city of Reading, the police ran an active shooter drill over at Shasta High School.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is what the downside of instantaneous social media stuff taken out of context. Because people, come on, kids, Facebook is not the absolute authority. If you wanted to spread a rumor really, really fast and get people freaked out in a hurry, Facebook's the way to go. And this drill was conducted at Shasta High School, and it was a very authentic active shooter drill, and the public is upset, a lot of parents upset, because they were not informed ahead of time of the surprise drill.
Well, but the school was informed of it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Obviously,
the school knew about it.
I don't know if the students knew it and what the police were doing.
There were signs up at the school.
There were signs up at the school. There was going to be a drill. Okay, so the point is the drill was done with our police, and they were given very little information, because if you give them the whole scenario, what good does that do? Then it becomes just something they walk through. But they were getting they'd be getting messages over their squawk boxes and all this thing. They had to react to it. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather they do it and do this training and have this training done, and they did tell the school there were signs on campus, or would you rather them try it for the first time when there is an active shooter at the school?
No, absolutely.
Oh, let me think about that. No, I think I'd really like them to practice, because I tell you what, if they didn't practice and a shooter is an active shooter at any of these schools, and our guys go in there and they mess something up because it's already chaotic, you would be after them. You'd be suing them. You'd be saying, why didn't you train for this? Why didn't you train for this? Well, they are training for it, and there's a downside in it that some people don't get the word, but the school authorities knew the word. They were able to answer the questions. There were signs on campus, and the kids are out there with their cell phones anyway, filming and sending this out. So the whole thing is, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. So I'd rather be damned by doing than by damned by not doing something that's right.
And that's the thing about social media, things like Periscope, Facebook, and all that. You get this little snippet of information, and then people go wild on just one piece of information.
Is there any wonder that when police are starting to do something, that maybe they don't take the right steps, or they don't go out there because there's people out there with their little cameras waiting to see if there's a mistake.
Gotcha.
I'm not saying there's not some egregious, types of things happening out there, like that cop down in South Carolina who shot that man running away. I mean, clearly murder, or at least whatever they're going to call it. It was a homicide. Clearly that. The guy was not a threat to him. But then you have this guy throwing, he takes down this 13-year-old at a pool party, outside a pool party. Now, we don't know what happened before and after, but now they're after him. But they have that one piece of tape that shows him taking her down on the ground. He didn't hit her in the head. He didn't do anything in taser. He just brought her down to the ground. Well, it doesn't make any difference anymore, because we've got the Ferguson effect going throughout the nation, where it doesn't make any difference if what really happens. People will lie. People will bring out parts. And then when you do a grand jury and then the Department of Justice comes in trying to hang somebody and they find out, and I shouldn't have said that. The Department of Justice came in there with a thorough investigation, and at the end of it, they cleared the policeman. So I shouldn't say they came in there to hang him, but they sure came in there with guns blazing.
Yeah.
After the grand jury found nothing, and then the Department of Justice finds nothing, but the Ferguson effect is still going throughout the country.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about something else. You know, it came up in a conversation the other night. Traffic tickets. They just made a. They just made a ruling. The judicial council here of California just made a ruling that you do not have to pay your traffic ticket first before you go into court to fight it.
Oh and yeah, you had to post the bail.
You had to post bail. Well, in Shasta County, I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, we've had one ticket here, and that was when Linda did a California stop at 6 a.m. at one of the red light cameras. Who, if it had been a policeman, would have done nothing. But because it was a red light camera, we paid a $565 fine. A $565 fine for going through, or for Linda coming up and rolling through that with nobody on the road. There was nothing. Okay. Now you can, well, she shouldn't have rolled through that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Got it. I understand that. We understand $565 worth of that. Okay. But where in the heck? Does doing that come to $565? But here's the point I'm making. We didn't pay that up front. She went to court and said, hey, look, I'd like to fight this. I'd like to talk to the judge about this. Fine. They gave her a court date, and then she went to the court and ended up paying the $565. The Shasta County Court said is, you know, only about 10% of the people pay up front, have to pay up front. You know, and so it's not so much in Shasta County. But this is something the ACLU rolled in on, saying you're because the court system's been cut back so much in their funding. This is how they're getting their money: is off fines and fees.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So you're talking how many billions of dollars? And but here's the other thing: I heard Brown say the other day, there's billions of dollars out there in unpaid traffic fines because people can't afford them. And here's what happens when you go to court: you go to that. Okay, let's just say that you are paycheck to paycheck with your family. And you get hit with a $565 fine. Oh, you can pay it off in 3 months. Okay, $150 a month. $150 a month is a big thing. So what if you miss that payment? So now you've got a failure to pay your traffic ticket on it, and for some reason you get pulled over, or they say, okay, here it is. Here's your, you know, you've got to pay it now. I don't have the money. And then you drive what now on what? A suspended license. And then you get pulled over, or you go to court and they check on it. Now you not only do you have a suspended license, they tow your car away.
Yeah, and charge you extremely high fees
for
the storage.
And it gets worse. You see, it just gets worse over something like a busted taillight. You could get out there. I'm not saying – I don't know if you get a ticket for a busted taillight.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you could. And here it is that – but because it's not the – you know, my daughter, God bless my daughter, ran through two red light cameras in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the same day,
ooh,
once coming north and once going south. I mean, I said, honey, didn't you know they were there? She says, I knew I knew it after the first one. I said, well, what happened to the second one? She said, well, I thought I could beat that one. I mean, and she's not a 20-year-old. She's like in her 30s, right, with kids. Okay, great. How much did that cost you? I was thinking, oh, man. She's $75.
Oh.
I said, no. I said, how much did it cost you? She says, $75 each time. She said, it was really embarrassing. And I went, yeah, I guess so. I'm thinking $75 in Albuquerque, New Mexico for a camera light, $565 in California for the same guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting how the contracts are written. I would rather that they would, rather than focus on an empty intersection at 6 o'clock in the morning, why can't they focus on Cypress at Hilltop, where the other day I'm coming through the intersection and this idiot crosses trying to get onto the 5 and honks up all the traffic trying to cross coming down westbound on Cypress. He gets stuck in the intersection at 45-degree angle.
It was blinking him, though. Wasn't it giving him it gave him a ticket, right?
No, well, not that I could see.
Because he got across the line first before it changed, but he went out there and he blocked traffic, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was blocking three lanes.
Yeah. You know what? That's when you need a policeman to come pull him out.
That's when you need a 50-cal forward mounted.
Handcuff him, maybe tase him a couple of times. Take his car and bring it in. Because, you know what? Their time is much more important than your time because they are much more important than you.
It was some dingbat.
It's called rudeness.
Texting.
Texting.
Don't you love it?
Texting. We drove by her and she's on her phone while she's honking the track. I mean,
did you honk at her? Honk at her?
My wife gave her the unilateral salute.
Did you honk at her? On the horn?
Oh, yes.
I can't do that anymore. I can't do that. If somebody does that, they come out because they know they're not making it. The lines, the lights change. They know there's no place to go, and they come out and do it, and they're right in front of you. So what you do is you lay on your horn. Well, I can't do that anymore because Linda says, no, don't do that. That's just, don't do that. Don't honk it. It's embarrassing. I said, it's not embarrassing to me. She says, it's embarrassing to me. I went, oh.
No, my wife made fair use of the horn.
I know. Anyway. Hey, look, we got to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Leonard has got the finest selection of jewelry, whether it's brooches, rings, watches, necklaces, you name it. But estate jewelry is the specialty there at Four Winds Jewelry, plus the only trained watch repairman all of the North State area. If you need your watch fixed, head down there, get it fixed. Anything from batteries and watches to any type of jewelry you could possibly imagine. And look, if you're looking for that special piece and you don't see it there, ask Leonard. He will find it and procure it for you at a very, very fair price. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive across from Sierra Gibbs. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back with John Hart about the problems that Hillary Clinton is having beyond scandals. We'll be right back.
Love is like a bomb, baby, come and get it on. Living like a lover with a red eye phone. Looking like a tramp, like a video ram. Demolition woman, can I be a man?
Shasta District Fair, June 17th through the 20th. Save up to 30% on admission tickets and carnival ride wristbands. Go to ShastaDistrictFair.com to purchase your advance tickets now and save. The Shasta District Fair opens Wednesday, June 17th.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PBA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. Good morning. 82.5 degrees at 7:35 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Red and Crack Master Windshield Repair. Does what no other windshield business can do. It offers guarantees from chips to cracks over 24 inches in length, over 2 feet in length in a windshield. Jeff Wurst can fix it. It's a better-known business, and Jeff puts his money where his mouth is. If he can't fix it, he gives you your money back. Full refund. Give him a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street right here in Reading. Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Hey, I want to do a shout-out to Bonnie and her girlfriends who are out walking along the river trail at 7:30 in the morning at 82 degrees out there. And Lori. Big shout out to Lori and Sun Gold and all those people. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling us. Thanks for all those people that are out there, the guards out at the Shasta Dam and all the others that just stop us and tell us that they listen. You know, we really appreciate that. You know, really appreciate the people, our audience. You're great people out there. All right. Hey, let's go to the phones here. We're here with John Hart. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, John. John, where are you located at?
I am in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
Fairfax, Virginia.
Oh, Fairfax. I'm well...
Go all the way other side of the country.
Yeah, I'm well acquainted with it, though. I was in the Marine Corps and was stationed in Quantico, and also I was living in Alexandria and Arlington, those places over there. So I'm familiar with that area.
Now, very good.
John is a national-level author here and a political opinion columnist. And who do you write for, John?
Yeah, I write for a site called OpportunityLives.com. It was created about a year ago. I spent about 15 years working for a man named Tom Coburn, who was a member of the House of Representatives in the class of 1994, and then served in the Senate for a decade. And he was behind the successful fight to end earmarks. Tom Coburn was Tea Party, you know, a good decade before the Tea Party existed. So he was a real leader, pioneer. He was known as Dr. No. But an interesting thing about Coburn is he was a kind of a one-man solution center. He was a person who had a lot of great ideas. And one of the things that's missed in the conservative movement, partly because of how the media and the left portrays this, is that, you know, our ideas are positive, they're aspirational, they're propositional, and they work. So the site that we started is really dedicated to promoting, you know, conservative principles in action. I call them modern parables. We have a great video series up called Comeback, which chronicled Paul Ryan's tour of anti-poverty groups around the country, you know, people who are successfully fighting poverty without government being at the center of that effort.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of great stuff for promoting, conservative ideas, limited government, free markets. So that's I'm the editor of that site now, and that's what I write for primarily.
Okay, and it's funny how when you project conservative viewpoints out there, how all of a sudden they're attacked, and yet with such a vehemence and
yes.
And the venom on it. And
right,
I think
right.
One of the things you can take a look at is, you know, I think, what are the Duger family, the one with
right.
the 19 kids, and they've had this horrible tragedy in it. And now they're attacking them in a sense that, oh, they're supposed to be such Christians, and they have this, and they're also against gay marriage. And
mm-hmm.
It just seems like there's two ways of looking at it, but none of the two ways fits if you're a conservative.
Yeah, and I think what the left is doing increasingly is they're trying to grab these wedge issues, non-issues. Frankly, a lot of the time they want to portray Republicans as on this anti-gay crusade. They want to, and Hillary Clinton's latest deal is she's trying to create a crisis about early voting. You know, she's arguing that the GOP wants to disenfranchise people who want to vote early. Well, the point I would make is if people were so excited about what liberal governance has done for the past 40 years, they'd be lining up to register to vote. So, and it really gets at the point of what I've been arguing and writing about someone on the side is, you know, there's Hillary Clinton has her favorability numbers have tanked, partly because of her scandals, you know, her effort to avoid accountability with her email. She created a private server to hide her official email traffic. and then wipe the server clean while in the middle of an investigation or before the investigation into the Benghazi attacks. But her deeper problem is that they don't have any ideas that work. Her agenda is empty. So if you open the hood, you know, on the right, you have all this competition, you have all this energy, creativity, and our field is a reflection of the firepower intellectually on the right. So you've got Scott Walker, Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, and a whole host of other candidates, Carly Fiorina, who have done some phenomenal things both in the private sector and as governors and in the Senate. And then on the left, you've got a coronation. So we have a competition, they have a coronation.
Well, you can
Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I've noticed too is, you know, when they talk about diverse parties and how the Republicans are a bunch of old white guys, then when you look at who's running for office this year, you have Hispanics, you have women, you have blacks.
Yep.
You have them all. And I don't think any of them are over 60. I mean, there could be. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Oh, well, maybe Huckabee. And you have Southerners. They're all running. And then you look at the Democrat side, and you've got – and I'm not sure how old Hillary is, and I'm not going into age because it's getting – you know, but because it's getting too close to me. But the but you've got –
yeah, I was like an old-timer up on the hill when I was – turned 40.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, so you got Hillary and you got O'Malley, and I'm not too familiar with O'Malley, except even the people in Maryland don't like him too much. And then Bernie Sanders, who is a self-professed socialist, and then I guess somebody else just started, and he's really interested in the metric system. I'm not sure who this guy is, but
Lincoln Chafee.
Lincoln Chafee. Okay. Yeah. No, so here we are with one side is diverse, and yes, there's a lot of them out there. And my fear is that the media is going to pick whoever they want to see in the end there, whoever the five are or four are.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of letting it be a good free for all and a good letting America hear the messages instead of trying to hear rhetoric.
Right. Right. Yeah, and there's a real hunger for solutions, you know, and we're in the middle of expanding our site to we're going to be creating something called a Solution Center, which is, I describe as an online briefing book for conservative ideas. And, the reaction we've had for this is just phenomenal that people are hungry for specifics. And, you know, the media thinks that their voters are dumb and they can't understand these ideas, but they do. And when you communicate to people, look, we have a way to solve the entitlement crisis. We have a way to solve tax reform, to grow jobs, to expand the economy, to reduce regulation. And here's, you know, 50 pages or 100 pages of detail on how we'll do that. And again, the folks on our side, we have those ideas. And, you know, our challenge is to make sure that people have access to them and understand them. And that's the fight we want to have with the left. And that's why Hillary Clinton has such a problem now, because she doesn't have anything to pivot to. You know, when in a political crisis, what candidates do is they change the subject. So when you have bad news, you want to talk about something else besides your habit of destroying your emails. But she doesn't have anything to pivot to. There's no big agenda or big idea other than these gimmicky proposals to promote, quote, early voting and easier, you know, registration, which is a big recipe for fraud. And it's, again, if people were so excited about what Democrats have delivered, you wouldn't have to have those measures. People would be lining up to register to vote to support liberal policies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, do you think that, yeah, but, you know, John, I admire what you're saying here. But I was a Marine for a long time. I was always on the periphery of politics because, frankly, mm-hmm. You know, I voted all the time. I tried to keep myself up on what was happening in my state, you know, the presidency and all this. But since having this radio station for the last 6 years and being in politics, both from the local all the way up, or being around politics from the local all the way up to the national, through people and all the, you know, the people that cycle through here, I'm starting to believe that those who read the 50 pages are really – really a small minority, and the ones that read the bumper stickers that Republicans hate people of color
mm-hmm.
is the majority. So how do you get past that? But I want you to hold on to that question, because I'm going to take a break, because this is going to be a little bit longer answer, I
think.
Sure. We're going to take a quick break here. John Hart's here with us. We're talking about, we started out talking about and want to finish talking about Hillary's problems. So far beyond scandals, and like John says, John Hart says, is there's no place for her to pivot to. I mean, what has she got here? But then again, here's my question is, but is it just a bumper sticker mentality that gets you elected now? We'll be right back. Carl and the Bot, KCNR, 1460. If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it.
Trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more. People across our nation are achieving remarkable things in later life. Compass Shining Care invites you to celebrate Older Americans Month, honoring the achievements of seniors who are using their wisdom, talents, and expertise to make a positive impact in our community. Nominate a local senior today for the 3rd Annual Powerful Senior Award. Shining Care invites you to join us in promoting healthy aging, increased community involvement, and quality life for our elders. Shining Care's life care experts provide guidance and advocacy for families who are caring for older relatives or disabled adults, assisting with the challenges of aging by providing consultations and risk assessments, care planning, coordination, and in-home care, as well as the advocacy and support that provide families peace of mind. Visit shiningcare.org or visit Grace Place Tea House at 1448 Pine Street in downtown Reading.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
Adamson's Peak Performance is our gym of choice. There is nothing better than to feel in shape, and that can make you feel on top of the world. Adamson's Peak Performance. No gimmicks, no games, no hypes. Make workouts fun at Adamson's Peak Performance, located at 3050 C Street. Give them a call at 221-8006. That's Adamson's Peak Performance.
Hey, it's Ernie and Dave with a major announcement.
Swap and Sell has moved.
Entertainment for the whole family.
Right. Swap and Sell has moved to 8 to 9 every Saturday morning right here on KCNR.
We talk about yard sales, garage sales, or if you're having a non-commercial fundraiser, join us 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Saturday.
We're here. That's Swap and Sell with Ernie and Dave right here on KCNR 1460 AM radio.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. You know, that bump music's great, but when we're talking about Hillary Clinton, we should have something like from Dragnet. Dum-da-dum-dum. Dum-da-dum-dum-dum. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
Benghazi! Benghazi!
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. If you're looking for great coffee and cold drinks, Espresso Joe. Then walk next door to the finest walk-in tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that you're going to find just outstanding selections of sticks, is what we call the cigars there, sticks, all rated by Cigar Aficionado. All of this at 2143 Hilltop Drive, veteran-owned business. Tobacco and Brew, where veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's. We're here with John Hart, just a national, worldwide author and commentary genius here. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hey, you know what? You know what? Hey, you're back there on the Beltway. Is it crazy back there most of the time?
Yeah, you know, it's a little crazy. It's definitely another world out here. It's not very representative of America. But you know, I'm from Kansas City originally, so I'm a Midwesterner and have traveled, lived overseas. So I think hopefully I don't have too much of a Beltway perspective.
Hey, do you ever look at your dog and say, "We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto"?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, John, I asked you. I asked you a question before we left. You know, you're talking about Republicans have solutions, and I believe that. I believe, and they've got 25, 35, 40 pages of solutions for every problem because they thought them through. Here's the solution. And my question was, yeah, but how many people are going to read those 30 pages as opposed to those people that read the bumper stickers that say Republicans hate people of color?
Yeah. I mean,
how do you combat that? How do you combat that?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And I'll tell you, our site is an answer to that question. So here's what the division is. So you're absolutely right. You know, we do have the best ideas. We've got all the detail. We've got all the policy correct. And we have the results to show it. But the problem is, at the end of the day, bumper stickers, slogans are often more effective than the detailed policy. And, you know, and to think about a couple of models, you know, we had Reagan and Bill Clinton and now Hillary. President Reagan used rhetoric to enhance his substance, whereas the Clintons used rhetoric to hide the substance. So our challenge is, how do we use rhetoric to enhance the substance of what we have? And so the way to do that, what Reagan did, I think what we're trying to do, is to tell positive, optimistic stories about opportunity, about how conservative ideas, when implemented, work in the real world. So our site is loaded with stories of American dream success stories.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned this comeback series earlier, and that's a documentary feature film, essentially, broken up into seven parts of these extraordinary, inspiring stories of people overcoming addiction, overcoming extreme poverty, overcoming all kinds of obstacles, personal, cultural, whatever, in their settings, and we just tell the stories. We don't beat people over the head with a limited government message, but it's very clear in these films that the people at the center of the change are neighbors caring for neighbors, people laying down their lives in their communities to help somebody get out of a tough situation. And that's what works. I mean, I agree.
I live in a town.
So storytelling is really, really important. And we often don't do a good job of that, you know, as conservatives, because we get a little too academic, too analytical. And meanwhile, Democrats have these sob stories that actually hide the substance of what they're trying to do. So, you know, we're slowly reversing that. And I think some of our candidates really understand that and are good at telling stories, are good at the personal narrative and connecting to people's hearts and minds. You've got to bridge both.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and that's really the challenge.
Okay. Tell us what your website is again now.
It's called opportunitylives.com.
Okay.
And this video series is opportunitylives.com/comeback.
Well,
and again, if you look at that, you can have a hard time believing that Republicans hate people of color, they hate minorities.
Well, that's just ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the part is when you start talking about hating people of color is when I see a Hispanics running for office for the highest office in our country with Cruz and Marco Rubio. And what happens? They're attacked because they're not brown enough. Are they being attacked, you know, because they're not black enough? And, you know, I mean, where does that come in? I mean, excuse me. I mean, it's they're not brown enough. They're not Hispanic enough. I mean, where do you get that? And those attacks are coming from the left. And those aren't coming from the far left. That's coming from the media minds of MSNBC, CNN, and several of these others. And, you know, of course, the papers there that, oh, no, it's abhorrent. But
it is.
It's still the attacks are going on. Now, okay, we got like 7 minutes left here. What do you think about the field of the Republicans that are running? I mean, it's a lot of people there.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let me give you one quick aside on that. You asked the question about the diversity of our party. You mentioned the diversity of our party.
It's totally diverse.
We had one of our writers, Ellen Carmichael, she did a study a demographic study of all the members of Congress, and we proved that that Republicans are more diverse and they're also younger than Democrats. So it isn't just a sort of a feeling. We actually we did a piece on this to show that. And again, you know, it's Democrats are the party of yesterday, the party of no new ideas, the party of nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think people could take a look at where the system has gotten us under the Democrats. Here we are out in California. We've got a one-party system here. I mean, you can say there's Republicans in it, and we have some good guys, you know, in the Republican Party. They cannot get a bill out of committee. In fact, they hijack their bills and they put their own people on it to get it out of committee. They'll take a Republican bill. So we see how that works out here. I mean, in the land of never, never. The cities who have had Democratic leadership, you know, strong Democratic leadership, Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, and all these, I mean, you don't have to go far to see the problems they're having there.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, and you asked about 2016, and I think one of the most important strengths and attributes of our field is you have governors from red states. You've got Bush, I wouldn't call Wisconsin a red state, but you got, you know, Scott Walker.
Yeah. It's kind of a purple state.
And Rick Perry, yeah. But the point is you have Republican governors who are positioned to make the argument that to the extent we've had an economic recovery, and we haven't really had a recovery, it's because of what those governors have done. In other words, and Steve Moore at the Heritage Foundation and some others have done some phenomenal work on describing the wealth of states. And so what they found is all of the money and growth are coming from these red states that have lower tax rates, and they've tracked the flow of money into those states and then the flow of money out of those blue states. So in other words, if you lower tax rates and have a limited government philosophy, you're going to grow economically. And so we have this powerful story to tell all over the country, and our candidates are well positioned to do that, particularly the governors. But, you know, anybody can adopt that message, and I think they're going to. So that's a big strength of our field. And again, I think the big takeaway for people at this stage is, you know, the media wants to look at the Republican field. Gloria Berger at the CNN called it the Hunger Games, you know, this, and they want to emphasize the fight and the bickering and it's going to get very competitive.
Yeah.
But, you know, but my comeback as well, the Democrat field is like the TV show Lost. You know, they're in a different reality. They don't even know it. The competition is a sign of strength, not weakness.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing is I hope Hillary doesn't get challenged hardly at all. I hope she walks.
I agree.
I hope she walks into the championship fight with, you know, that she's had a couple of sparring matches and that's it. And I hope that whoever the Republican is, he's had a fight or she's had a fight. She's taken care of herself. That she's gotten the whole party to line up behind she or he behind them. And they walk in there from a position of strength that, come on, you want to fight? I'm going to show you a fight. I'm going to show you how to change this country. And we don't need your tired old ideas. And we don't need you saying that Republicans are a do-nothing party. Anyway.
Right.
That's the way I feel.
No, that's exactly right. And if you look at our field, think about, you know, and I've got, you know, I have people I like more than others and everybody else does, but I really can't think of anyone that I would say I don't really want that person to be president. You know, I'd love to see these folks take turns being president for the next 50 years or 40 years.
Yeah.
and we have a very deep bench. We have that deep playing field where, you know, who knows how things will shake out. There's always a surprise in a primary.
Yeah, you never know.
Rick Santorum,
yeah,
you know, last time around would have been so successful in his campaign. And, you know, any one of these folks could be a surprise candidate, and we'd be much better off with them than Hillary Clinton.
Where we are. Hey, we got it, John. We've got to run here. We got like about a minute left. I really appreciate you coming on today. And tell us again your website.
Yeah, it's called opportunitylives.com.
And we're going to put that up on our website. We'll do a link in there, opportunitylives.com. It sounds good.
Great.
And thanks a lot, John. We appreciate
your
time. And be careful back there.
I will. You do.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. You bet. Hey, it's about 8:30. Oh, I'm sorry. It's about 8 o'clock.
What clock are you?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just. I was looking all around here. You know, my mind's. I work ahead. Hey, it's 85 degrees already, my friend. So make sure you don't leave dogs, animals, or elderly people in your car, or even people that aren't elderly, and just walk away from them because you're going to come back and not be happy. When we come back, we've got the Northern California Division Chief of the California Highway Patrol with us. We'll be right back after the news. Carl Lindebot, KCNR 1460.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Former House Speaker Dennis Hastert is expected to enter a plea today to charges stemming from an alleged effort to cover up some sort of past misconduct by paying $3.5 million in hush money. A person familiar with the allegations has said the payments were intended to conceal claims that Hastert sexually molested someone decades ago. Also at SRNnews.com, there's been a protest march against a white McKinney, Texas police officer's videotaped handling of a black teenager in a swimsuit. The 15-year-old called for her mother while the officer pinned her to the ground. Scott Corcoran, a McKinney resident, took part in a counter-protest.
From the email that I read from the neighbors, that there was just more kids with a DJ playing some vulgar music for hours and hours, and finally a couple of fights broke out and the police showed up.
The officer, who is on paid leave, also pointed his handgun at other teenagers. New Jersey's top court has sided with Governor Chris Christie in a fight with public worker unions over pension funds. The state Supreme Court has overturned a lower court judge's order that told the Republican governor and the Democratic-controlled legislature to work out a way to increase pension contributions. Just hours after the president signed a bill that would end the NSA's bulk collection of phone records, the Justice Department asked a secret court to reauthorize that program.
News of the request made last week was just made public. The request would allow the National Security Agency to resume collecting and storing the records for another 6 months. At that point, the USA Freedom Act stipulates that phone companies would have to store the records and the NSA would have to ask for court permission to seek records in specific cases. The group Freedom Works has filed suit to stop the court from reauthorizing that program.
SRN's Wally Hines. And U.S. employers advertised the most open jobs in April than at any time in the past 15 years. This is SRN News.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
Hey, Staples guy, how do I know I'm getting the best price on this laptop?
Staples will match our competitors' prices, even if you find it online.
What about this tablet?
Price match guarantee.
And the smartphone?
Yep.
What about these ink cartridges, my chances of winning the lottery, and toner?
Guaranteed, no way guaranteed, guaranteed.
Make on budget happen, make best prices happen. Staples, make more happen. This week at Staples, save up to $170 on all HP inkjet printers.
Offer ends 6/13/15 in-store and online while supplies last. Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See storestaples.com for details.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
HSBC, Europe's biggest bank, is planning to cut 8,000 jobs in the United Kingdom as it tries to reduce costs.
It's not just about cutting costs. It's also about refocusing the business on areas of the world where it sees particularly strong opportunities for growth. And given its the bank's roots in Asia, it's not surprising to say that that is indeed where it plans to focus increasingly. Followers of American foreign policy will be familiar with the phrase that the bank's executives have been using to describe this shift. They're calling it the pivot to Asia.
That's BBC correspondent Andrew Walker reporting. Representatives of Libya's internationally recognized parliament have suspended their participation in UN brokered talks over a proposed power-sharing scheme with a rival Islamist-led government. The council made its decision after a UN envoy, they said, succumbed to Islamist demands. This is SRN News. A study appearing in the June issue of the journal Health Affairs has found that 20 of the 50 U.S. hospitals that charge the most for their services are located in Florida.
Most states don't limit what hospitals charge for their services, and that makes it easier for hospitals to establish excessively high rates. U.S. hospitals charge, on average, more than triple the Medicare allowable costs. The study comes during a national effort to increase transparency in hopes of curbing increasing health costs. Some for-profit hospitals say the study did not account for the discounts and billions in charity care they give low-income patients.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. Greek authorities say hundreds of people using small boats and dinghies have arrived over the past day on the eastern Aegean islands near the Turkish coast, part of a surge of tens of thousands of migrants landing on Greek shores in recent months. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Linda Kenyon.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning, 8:05 today on June the 9th, a Tuesday. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, everybody. Hey, Bad Bob. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well, thank you.
You were doing okay. Now, Bob did the news this morning, and the reason Bob did the news is because the Bob Martin, usually does the news and is underfoot after that, is in the hospital and for the next couple of days while he's having some work done on his leg. And I don't know if you're listening now or Bob or if you're unconscious, but shout goes out and we're all thinking about you. And especially Bad Bob, who would like you to come back as soon as possible so you could do the news so he doesn't have to get up at 4:30 in the morning and try to pronounce all these names. The weather today, right now, 87. It was 85 10 minutes ago. It's 87 degrees today with a chance of thundershowers later on tonight, but it's going to get up to 104. Wednesday, a slight chance of thunderstorms with a high near 90, so it's going to start dropping there. Wednesday night, it's a 20% chance of showers. Thursday, a high near 102. Friday, a high near 104. Am I hearing the same thing over and over again here? Sunny and hot. So be aware of that. Don't leave animals in your car. Don't leave people in your car. And for goodness sakes, don't leave children in your car while you just run in for a minute and you find out that it's going to take longer. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Locally owned and operated, veteran-owned business. Give them a call at 365-3793. You know, being this hot, you ought to take a look at calling Alliance Heating and Air. If that air conditioner is not working like it does at the California Highway Patrol Station, not working everywhere, right, Captain Braun?
That's correct.
Captain Carr.
Our dispatchers were quite uncomfortable yesterday. It was 92 degrees in there yesterday afternoon.
And and they're trying to fix the air conditioning yet.
They are. They're trying to upgrade an old system, but the timing didn't work out quite like we had hoped it would with the weather.
Well, see, this is why we always talk about going to Alliance Heating and Air when it's still cool for those hot weather needs. In the business for over 20 years. If it's an emergency, works 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Give them a call at 221-2642, a better-known business. Check out his website, homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. Great people down there. And I'm here with I've got the right command structure here. I have the chief in charge of the whole Northern Division up here in Northern California, Ruben Leal, with us. Good morning, Chief.
Thank you, Carl. And, yeah, that's correct.
Is that correct?
Division chief, yes.
Okay. And, of course, Captain Todd Garr, who is with us. And you are head of the Reading Department, or is it more?
Just Shasta County Patrol Operations.
Okay, Patrol Operations. Responsible okay. For. Now, I also heard it was that when the air conditioning broke down, there's a certain captain that went out and got a mobile air conditioning unit for the troops?
Well, Lieutenant Foster and I both, we coordinated with each other and we got something in there for them. But as it turned out, they beat us to the punch and some of the other guys took care of it and made sure that the ladies were comfortable. Our lifeline in the room there.
Your dispatchers were there. Yeah. It's 92 degrees in there.
They were real troopers about it. So.
Yeah. You know, first of all, thanks. This is the first time, Chief, that you've been on with us here at KCNR, and we appreciate that. The how big is your division?
Our division is it encompasses the most northern 13 counties of the state, and we have in that division we have 17 commands, and that includes two of what most people know as scale facilities, but we call them enforcement facilities. So it's pretty big. It's approximately over about 36,000 miles of highways that we're responsible for, and it's almost a quarter of the state in square miles.
So you could put like New England in here.
Yeah, it is huge. Unfortunately, well, fortunately for me, but it only encompasses about 2% of the population.
Right. Yeah. But you still got to cover it, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so there's the problem that, you know, we talk about here in the city. We've got a 66-square-mile city. And it doesn't have a lot of people, but you've still got to travel 66 square miles to get from, you know, spot A to spot B to get everybody there, and then the county being large. So I can just imagine everything you have to cover.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I came from Sacramento where I was an assistant chief, and I could get to any one of my commands in probably an hour and a half here. There are some commands it takes me about 5 hours to get to, so it's pretty spread out.
I guess it does. If you're going from here to Eureka or anywhere down there,
Crescent City, especially.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That could take you that long. Yeah. Is being in the Northern Division something that people want to be, would you say?
I think so, and Captain Gar may disagree, but it is a place where a lot of people – it's sought after by a lot of people when they get some time on the job. And it's a good place to work, great people, especially if you're an outdoors type person. It's great to be. And I would say, quite frankly, that the activity kind of slows down here a little bit. You don't have the hustle and bustle of some of the big cities. So, yes.
Really? We're not hustling and bustling? Somebody was on the show yesterday from the Record Searchlight. And she says, you know, frankly, we are the kind of the tip of the spear out here, that we're kind of like one of those frontier towns. That Redding is the largest city between Sacramento and who knows what, where else, well, Portland or someplace. But we do things out here. We take care of things. We have to take care of things on our own. So you don't have perhaps the hustle and bustle, but you've got probably all the problems that you have in the big cities here.
Yes, you do. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Captain Gar yesterday about this. I think that our flagship office in Northern Division is the Redding Command. And the Redding Command may not be as busy as a Central Los Angeles or even a North Sacramento office, but the type of crime, the type of activity that they're involved in is just as diverse, if not even more diverse than some of those, because it just is. The makeup of the command and where it's at and, you know, the geography, it's just...
Yeah. Chief, let's talk a little bit about you. I know you probably don't want to do this, but you know you are. I mean, you're the head of all of 17 counties out here. How did you? How long ago? When did you start in the Highway Patrol, and why did you go in the Highway Patrol?
I tell you, I started back in 1984. It's something I've wanted to do ever since I was in high school. I knew I wanted to be a police officer. I'm from Sacramento. I had applied for two agencies: the California Highway Patrol and Sacramento Police Department. And I was very fortunate that. The California Highway Patrol called first and went through the process and have been on ever since. I think it's a little different now, but for me it was probably very, very early age that was my career path, and mm-hmm. I wanted to be a law enforcement officer and was able to fulfill my
dream. So you came in after high school then, essentially?
Right after college.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, right mm-hmm. after college. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you have to have a college degree to join the Highway Patrol, do you?
No, it's desirable, but actually our minimum qualifications are just a high school diploma or GED. But most people now, to be competitive, you should have at least a couple of years of college or a military background, a few years in the military.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, and then so you came in, and so you've been in for 31 years?
I am on my 31st year. I've worked all over the state. I've worked although most of my time has been spent in Sacramento, I've worked in the Bay Area. I've worked in Indio, which most people may not know where that's at.
Well, I know where Indio is.
Okay, by Palm Desert.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. I've driven through there several times. Drive through there during the summer on your Harley.
Yeah.
Yes. You only have to do it once and you remember.
Or get on your bike, but work there.
And on your bike, yeah.
Yeah, and then the last 4 years, or most last 4 years, I've been up here in Northern California, and this is my first stint up here in the North State, and I've really, really enjoyed it.
What do you do? I mean, I know the answer to this, but, you know, I know you work long hours, but what do you do for your hobby?
My hobby is probably my biggest hobby is cycling. I enjoy getting out and getting on my bike, either mountain biking or road biking, and quite a bit of riding out here in Redding. I love it out here. Nothing is flat. It's either up and down. And I will tell you this, too. I'm very, very impressed. Redding is a very bike-friendly city. There's only been a couple times when people have yelled at me, which is actually very unusual for them to do that. But the river trail is great. The roads are great. I ride with the local group every once in a while. It's a lot of fun in that. And just stay active, you know, do a little running and other things like that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Our guests today are Chief Ruben Leal, who is chief of the Northern Division up here. I think you said 17 districts, 17 counties.
17 offices, 17 commands. It's the top 13 counties.
Top 13 counties. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, of course, Captain Todd Garr, who's in charge of the operations up here in Northern California, Shasta County. And we're going to be right back after these messages.
Pizza Shack. Even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza alla sriracha. Chicken with sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have the buffalo chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Redding and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
All right, man, grab a Budweiser and take a knee. Well, it's baseball season, and there's nothing more American than watching America's game with America's beer. So let me ask you something. Are you ready for pitcher's duels and slugfest? Huh? Tell me, are you ready for the thrill of an incredible walk-off victory? Then get on your feet, raise an ice-cold Bud, and let's make this season larger than life. Great times are waiting. Grab some Bud!
Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Have you put your name on your to love and to take care of list lately? At the House of Conscious Living Yoga, we offer you a space for a well-deserved time in. You will be welcomed by the warmth and kindness of a yoga community here to make you feel safe and cared for. The House of Conscious Living Yoga is a place for healing. Our yoga mat will help you rediscover your own power to design your life in every way. Need to strengthen your body, calm your mind, or lighten your heart? You have come to the right place. Non-competitive, medically knowledgeable and safe, therapeutic and caring are just some of the words used to describe the House of Conscious Living Yoga professional staff. New to the studio? Receive your first 5 classes for only $25. Visit our website, consciouslivingyoga.com, for all the information you'll need to get started on your path toward a healthier, happier, more vibrant life. consciouslivingyoga.com, 246-7256.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm a guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm working for the state. I'm a highway patrol.
There you go. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Thanks, Angel. I know you're listening to this. You know what? I see different looks on people's faces in here, though, when we listen to that. I'm here with the Chief of the Northern Division, Ruben Leo, and that includes 17 offices in 13 counties, and Captain Todd Garr, who you're the operations officer for the Northern California?
Shasta County.
And I got to know Todd because he's just – who doesn't know Todd?
Correct.
I mean, it's just, and I'm not sure how that happened. Except I'm not sure how we met. That really, the first time it was Boyce Muse.
That's right.
I
came back to town in September after my stint down in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. my latest stint down there, and Boyce saw me out in the River Trail, and he said, "There's someone I got to introduce you to."
That's right. And you know, Boyce Muse is a great guy, and you know, Muse Concrete, all the Muses I know, even they're not related, Frankie, Kathy, and Boyce and Joan, great people. We're here talking about the Highway Patrol, and with the people that would, you know, who are the highest ranking Highway Patrol officer here. I had to ask him this during the break, Chips. It was a very, very popular TV show. Impact on the Highway Patrol.
Absolutely. A very positive impact. Again, when I first started back in 1984, it was still very popular. And it was, I think, just a great show, not only for recruitment, but for our image. And I'd like to think it is a depiction in that regard, and that we are very professional and we do a great job out there. But it was a great recruitment tool. I think there was a little stigma attached to it. But
I bet there's a lot of motorcycle envy among other police agencies in the state. Can I say that?
Yeah, maybe.
and the car cops, the car cops and the motor officers go at each other pretty intensely. Probably in all departments, but certainly in ours. So.
I bet. You know, being a member of the Highway Patrol obviously is when you say California Highway Patrol, it kind of epitomizes, not to have anybody take this wrong, but epitomizes kind of like law enforcement on the roads like this. You know, when you say California Highway Patrol, to keep those standards, you have to have, you have the only in-house academy or in-residence academy left in the United States is in the California Highway Patrol.
Yes, and that's something that we're very unique. And I can say, with very few exceptions, every member of our department had went through the same academy. Remember, back in 1995, we did absorb the California State Police, and they went through a transitional training program, not our full academy. But other than that, and that's why we are so unique, is that everybody's gone through the same live-in academy, and it makes us, I think, a little different and from personally a little more special. With that said, and I know we talked about this at the break, right now recruitment is very, very difficult because the pool is getting – I don't know if it's getting smaller or people and it happens with the economy. The economy is a little better right now. A lot of people aren't interested in law enforcement, and we've got to get that good quality candidate, and we're all trying to get them statewide, nationwide, that good quality candidate for law enforcement.
Well, you know, and I'm – I was able to listen to a presentation about this, about recruiting. Oh, okay, that was me. I had something resting on my computer making these strange beep beep noises. Yeah, everybody else is looking around. I'm going, okay, which one of you guys is doing that?
I thought Bob was going to make me throw my cell phone out the window or something.
I didn't know what it was on. But to talk about the recruitment. Now, you would think that, you know, you get thousands of people. Well, as it turns out, you do get thousands of applicants. But by the time you winnow it down, and I was able to talk about it on the show, I asked, I asked commissioners, is it okay if I talk about it? Yeah, there's no secrets here. By the time you get it down, I mean, you can start with 18,000 recruits, which is what you do.
Right.
By the time you get them through the last test or the last psych-eval or, you know, and all of this, before they even get into the academy, you've got, I mean, there's not very many people left there.
Yeah, that's correct.
Several hundred.
There is, and I don't know if the figure is still as accurate, but there was a time when the amount of people that applied for the job versus the amount of people that actually graduate from the academy is 3%. So, and then we find statewide pretty much the no-show rate stands right about 50%. It's very easy to apply, but it takes some effort and burning some calories to actually get out there and take the test.
Anybody can apply. You can just go online and you can fill out the form. I can fill it out, except I'm too old, but I could fill it out and put it in. Or, you know, anybody that's age 38?
36.
36 can fill out the form. And then you have three times a year, I believe it's three times a year, where people show up for the inventory physical test.
Yes.
Half the people don't even show up for that.
And I will tell you, last weekend we did one here in Reading, and now we're trying something a little different. We're trying to streamline everything and do the written and physical on the same day. And we'll see statewide how that turns out. But, yeah, it's just a commitment of one day to get through the process, go through the physical abilities test, and those that pass that afternoon are going to take our standard post-written test.
And 25% of those who show up for the physical test don't make it.
Yeah.
But if they – the statistics show, though, if they come back a second time, they do pass it. So it's kind of like a wake-up call to them.
And one of the reasons our testing is being changed is for veterans, especially active duty and military personnel. I had to come back to California four times through the whole testing process to.
And you're an Air Force veteran.
Air Force veteran.
And thank you for your service, of course.
As you as well.
Thank you.
And so we. We really are wanting to make it a little easier for those especially the active duty veterans to get back to California and take the test. And so, you know, you watch a lot of commercials and companies, a lot of great companies doing things for our veterans returning to the States. And I would count the California Highway Patrol among those companies, because there's never been a better time to be a veteran and be very, very competitive, and the most competitive in our hiring process. If you're a veteran, you come in,
get points.
You get more than points. I actually didn't get any points back when I came on in 1990. That's just the way it was at the time. But now, you as a veteran, if you pass all of our physical agility and our written, you go right to the very top of the list for backgrounds and to continue to move through the process. And we feel that having been a veteran and having served your country, you probably embody a lot of the qualities that we're looking for in the first place. So,
well, now, Chief, it took, from what I understand, up to 2 years from the time a person put their name on that first piece of paper to get them through into the academy. So, and that was one of the problems that was been identified and that the Highway Patrol is working on, like you said, combining things so it doesn't take so long.
Yes, and we're competing with law enforcement agencies all over the state. And what happens if another agency can streamline their testing process, their hiring process, we may get a person into our testing process, but unfortunately in that 2 years, they've gone through the whole testing process, backgrounds, et cetera, and are hired by another agency. And we've done some of the vetting for them, the background, et cetera. So, yeah, it's very difficult. And I think with this new process we're trying, we're going to streamline it, hopefully make it a little quicker. One thing we are not doing is we're not lowering our standards. We still have a standard that we've got to uphold for every applicant. And although we may make it quicker, it's not going to be any different. It's still just as
tough. Right, you can combine things, but and you can do things faster, but it's still the same qualifications. Now, you all are hiring starting next week, I think, aren't you?
Yes. So right here in Reading, our Reading Communications Center, We are going to accept applications online, the CHP website, beginning June 11th, and that will extend through July 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have some job fairs. We're going to have some radio spots during that time frame. And we are also going to do some basically some mentoring after it closes on July 9th. The test will be August 15th right here in Reading. We don't always get a test here in Reading. A lot of times you have to go to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Makes it easier, though.
We're trying to do everything we can. We're going to go over preparation for the test. It's one of our more difficult, if not the most difficult, tests. But
okay, now this is for?
For public safety dispatcher.
Okay, so we're talking about the ones that dispatch officers to the scene,
yes,
and take all the information, all that. They've got to keep a lot going there. So must have a lot of spatial, recognition and be able to figure things out there.
Yes, excuse me, Todd. For our uniform, for our officer position, we are going to have we have what's called open enrollment on our website. You could apply right online, and that is from July 6th through the 9th. That you can go on our website and put in an application, and you'd be ready for our next written and physical abilities test.
That's right, because you've got to go all these before you get
to
class.
Yes, sorry.
Okay, so we've got the dispatcher that's opening on June 11th.
And I have several. The statewide vacancy rate for officers is extremely high, but I have several positions. A lot of times people in Reading, me included when I was here, you're a little apprehensive about having to go down to Orange County and L.A. and that type
sure.
of thing, although I would tell young men and women out there that's going to end up being the best part of your career down there. But these dispatch positions are right here in Reading, and I have numerous vacancies.
Okay, that's what
right
I was going to ask about. So you don't have to leave the area, and this could be and if you've got if you've got the background, or you don't even know, you may not have the background, but come in and take the test, because you may fit all the profile for it.
That's correct.
So, okay, then yours is for the Highway Patrol officer's position,
yes.
And that starts
July 6th through the 9th is our open enrollment period. And unfortunately, with the officer position, you probably will not start in Reading. There are some cadets that go to places like Garberville, Humboldt every once in a while.
Alturas,
Crescent City maybe. But after a few years, you can get back up to the North State. But, you normally start.
It's about in time to retire. Okay, now you can say it. You can say it. Okay, I'm here with Chief Ruben Leo, who heads up all of the Northern California Highway Patrol districts up here, 17 districts, 13 counties, and then Captain Todd Garr, who is the operations officer up here for Shasta County. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
That's where I dug this one up.
Oh, yeah. The Highway Patrol with Robert Crawford. Was that California Highway Patrol?
Oh, Highway Patrol, Broderick Crawford, 1950s.
Right. Did you all get to wear those fedoras all the time when you came in? That was probably before your time, though, huh, Chief?
Yeah, that was a little before my time.
I think Chief Joe Ortiz is the only person in my time on the job that's been able to successfully pull that headgear off. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Take a step back in time for great haircuts, great prices, and discounts for seniors and veterans. Veteran-owned business, it's the Cheers of Barbershop. It's man's last stronghold. If you don't get your haircut there, I don't understand why. I guess, well, my friend Rick Hill doesn't, but Rick Hill's daughter owns a beauty shop. So Rick goes in there and gets his hair clipped by a girl. A lot to be said about that. Yeah, he has to walk past man's last stronghold to do it. And he says they make these little strange gestures to him as he's going by. And I explained it to him, and he got red. So, okay, I'm here with the chief of the Highway Patrol for the Northern Division, Ruben Leal, and the head of the operations for Shasta County, Captain Todd Garr. Before we left, we were talking about how you could apply for the dispatcher. And I've got a question in there. Is there a link to the dispatch job info? And the other question was, how much do they pay dispatchers?
So on the link, if you just go straight to our website, www.chp.ca.gov. And on that website, there'll be a link right to it to go to public safety dispatcher testing. And you can fill out your application there. You need to wait till June 11th. To start that process, and then make sure you select. There'll be several different options. They're going to be testing in Wairika, over in Arcata, as well as Ukiah, and just in Northern Division. And so make sure you can select Reading. Though you can only pick one. And then we intend to contact, once we have the application process closed on July 9th, we are going to contact the applicants and invite them to some seminars in order to prepare for the testing. In regards to the pay, it starts out at right around $3,600 a month, and it tops out at about $4,600 a month.
Okay.
So
you start out at, okay, that's a very livable wage, especially around here, starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll link this on our website when I get the information from Todd here.
Lieutenant Foster's probably sending it to you as we speak.
Okay.
You're probably right.
And we'll put it on our website so people can take a look at how to do it. So, Joe, I hope that answers your question. The 5 is it's a great highway. Gets people from San Diego into Oregon, but it's also a great highway for drugs and sex trafficking, and which has raised its ugly head here. Seems like a lot more in the last 5-6 years. It's probably always been going on, but maybe it's because people are more aware. Chief, is this something that you spend a lot of time on, knowing all this kind of stuff that's happening up here?
Yes, we do, and I will tell you, especially you talk about sex trafficking, which to me, is a component of human trafficking. I think there's a lot of that going on. I'd read something recently that there's an uptick in human trafficking. All of our officers receive additional training on issues such as human trafficking, what to look for, indicators, etc. In addition to that, we have our enforcement or scale facilities that kind of take special have a special watch on anything that may look unusual, that may look like a component of some type of human trafficking, and they'll take it a step beyond. They're not just there inspecting trucks or weighing trucks. They're looking for other kind of indicators and things popping right into the facility.
I know you can't talk about those because, mm-hmm. and I understand why, because once you say this is what we're looking for, it won't be there.
Correct.
So, you know, they go beyond just the surface. When you pull somebody over and you walk up to their car, you're looking for a plethora of things, I guess, besides just their, you know, just their driver's license.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just about writing tickets. We make contact with millions of people every year, and a lot of times these are positive contacts. But there are times when we stop someone, we see something that may not be right. There's things in plain view. There's reasons that we've stopped them above and beyond just your normal traffic ticket, and we take the appropriate enforcement action. And I will tell you, I-5 is a big corridor for a lot of different things, and our officers stay busy out there, not only writing tickets, but with some human trafficking. Uh-huh. We've had a couple cases lately, and then a lot of drugs being carried up and down the state.
I can just imagine, because every so often you'll see that the patrol is pulled over somebody, and it just happens to be like 836 pounds of marijuana in their car. I mean, it's like, was that just an accident?
It's not just an accident. I mean, it's an accidental stop.
But they know what they're looking for.
Yeah, they know what they're looking for, and we do have a few canines that at our disposal, and we use those as well. So we have a little bit of tools, but we have just great officers out there that know what they're looking for. And the bottom line is we want to save lives, get out there and keep people obeying the law. But unfortunately, people use our roadways for criminal activity, and we take action on that as well.
Okay, you know, not to make light of this, but what's the strangest thing that y'all have heard that you found up here? I mean...
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, I imagine that, you know, because, okay, do you mind if I look in your trunk? Oh, yeah. And you look in the trunk. Oh, my God. You know, it's like boa constrictors or something.
We have a sergeant, Jimmy Carter, who now is one of our aerial supervisors up at the division office. And he was an excellent interdiction officer back in his day down in Willows and Williams. And he stopped a car down there. And during the search, saw some indicators of criminal activity. Ended up popping the trunk open and found bullet holes through the bottom of the trunk. It was a female driver. Found bullet holes through the bottom of the trunk and what appeared to be either transmission fluid or human blood. And being the guy that he is, he just was tenacious in following up on that person wasn't really helping him out. Found some indicia in the car that led him to believe she had stayed at a hotel down in the Bay Area. And he coordinated with other CHP down there, and they found the victim still this gunshot victim. She had left him for dead, and so that was one of the more memorable stops. Wow. But there's been snakes, animals of all different types, people in various configurations within the car, and states of dress and undress, and a number of different things.
Okay, you know, I've got to laugh, but you know that I can just imagine the things that you all see when it's over. Okay, that brings us to something else here. This is going to be a longer question, but body cams. We spent. I was fortunate enough to be asked to be on the Citizens Advisory Board for the Highway Patrol, which is quite an honor. And I had, you know, I've gone to one meeting since being appointed. It was really interesting. The commissioner sitting down with us and talking to us about very forthrightly about what's going on with the patrol. And one of the big things, as it is going through everybody, is the body cameras. Is this something that's inevitable and needs to be planned for? But there are so many things that people don't even realize that go along with this, Chief.
Yeah, it is. First of all, and Carl, I want to thank you for being part of our Citizens Advisory Board. I think that's a huge undertaking for you. We look for our citizenry to kind of help guide us, and especially some of the hot topic issues we have. So I really appreciate your commitment to that board. Right now, it's read anything. Body cams is at the forefront. We are, and in addition to that, the legislator is looking at a couple of bills right now, pushing through a couple of bills on body cams. The bottom line is it's probably coming. We as an agency are currently looking at not only the types of cameras, but the procedures, the policy we would follow, and we have put together a formal working group, if you will, to study not only what would be a good policy for us, but when we'd use them, how we would download the information, because that's one thing that a lot of people don't think about is the technology involved with this and downloading that information and storing it on a daily basis, because we have 7,500 uniformed employees, and if they're working a 8 to 12 hour shift every day, that information has to be stored somewhere. And then the privacy of not only that officer, but all of their contacts, the innocent contacts on an arrest. There's a lot of things that need to be vetted.
That's kind of the part where you said you'd be surprised all the things we see when we look inside the car. And that's part of, hey, people, that's part of the body cam. That when the officer looks inside the car and asks for your license and registration, they have you and everything else in that car in view.
Yes.
Now, so what about the privacy of the other people in the car? You know, does that, you know, what do you, how are you going to handle that? I mean, these are things that, I mean, I looked at the, you know, before kind of a cursory look because Chief Rob Pelletti is talking about this. You know, but the storage, of course, is a huge thing. But all these other questions that go with it, you've got six officers coming in on a scene, six dash cams, six officers cams, having to put all those together, you know, trying to get all those to read at this, you know, what you're all seeing at the same time.
And the privacy issues are, I think, really underestimated of how labor intensive that comes for us, as well as the prosecution team, because if I'm out on an arrest and it's all being, you know, filmed and recorded, the audio recording, and Chief is on the other side of the county and he's on a stop with somebody and running a driver's license with somebody, if that comes over the radio and his information comes over the radio, we have to listen. We have to have someone sit and listen to these in its entirety before we release it, and then we have to redact that radio transmissions so that we protect the privacy of whoever the motorist was that he had stopped. And it just gets,
this
it
is
gets
just,
pretty complex.
You know, this is going to be extremely complex. But as everybody seems to think, it's going to happen. And frankly, what I believe is if it's going to happen, that the Highway Patrol should be the lead agency. This is just my thought.
Right.
Should be the lead agency for the state of California in this. Let you all be given all the assets to make this work. And then everybody else after that, get, you know, okay, this is what we found, this is how we're making it work. And some people, of course, you know, they don't have to cover all the regions that you do, but they could just take their portion out of that instead of having everybody trying to work on it themselves.
A lot of the smaller departments, Chief Barkley and I were just at a recent meeting with law enforcement from all over the North State, and several people in attendance said they were waiting for the CHP and other larger departments to vet this issue, identify equipment and vendors that have the best product and prices. Oftentimes, agencies can get in on our body armor contracts and different things like that and be able to purchase them and at a large bulk quantity price where they otherwise might not be able to.
It just makes sense to do that. I mean, it's like going out and getting, you know, it's like the different uniforms for the military.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, how ridiculous is that?
It does make sense, and I think there's a lot of good to a body camera, but we want to make sure, and this is one thing that I really like about our commissioner. He is not just going to jump into something like this based on public pressure or pressure from the legislature. He wants to completely vet this thing, take a look at what policy would be for our department. And then, as Todd Garr said, the restrictions on, because we got to protect the public and their confidentiality. So there's a lot of things to think about before we
go forward
with this.
Okay, I'm with Chief Ruben Leo, the head of all of the Northern Division up here for the California Highway Patrol, and Captain Todd Garr. We want to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
They've been rehearsing, gotten coached, and now the local dancers and their pro partners go on stage at the Cascade Theater Saturday, June 27th for the 9th annual Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style. This huge fundraising extravaganza for One Safe Place is proudly sponsored by Dignity Health, Record Searchlight, and Shasta Regional Medical Center. Get your tickets now at the Cascade Theater, online at ospshasta.org, or at the box office. You think Dancing with the Stars was fun on TV? Wait till you see Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style. Don't miss it.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. It is 10 minutes till 9 here on April the 9th. 92 degrees going up to 104 today. Perhaps rain tonight. It's going to be in the 90s or the 100s all through the weekend, so prepare yourselves for that. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. On July the 2nd at Wind River and Elements Lounge, Linda is back there with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds. And let's tell you what, last Thursday was just a great time. People from the crowd was up. And no, I'm kidding about that. Linda had brought in two girls for backup singers who have always wanted to do this. Scott Lewis came up there and sang. It was a night of great joy and dancing and a great time for everybody. And so we'll be back again on the 2nd of July at Elements Lounge. Give them a call at 243-3377. The place is filled up. So when you call, call now and get your reservations and say you want to be up front so you can be involved with what's going on in there. And so you can hear and see everything really well. 243-3377, Elements Lounge at Wind River Casino. I'm here with California Highway Patrol Chief Ruben Leo, who heads up all the Northern Division, 17 different commands, 13 counties. It's got all of this under here. It's about state, you know, covers the area of like New England in here in Northern California. And Captain Todd Garr, the operations officer for Shasta County. And Chief, one of the things I've learned is that in the next 2 years, one third of the Highway Patrol, including uniformed officers and the civilian support troops, can be gone. I mean, we can be losing a third in 2 years, within 2 years.
Yes.
How do you replace that?
It's tough, and we do some succession planning. But you're right, Carl. We could by 2017 we could lose essentially a third of our department to retirement, it's something that I'd like to think we're working on now. Is a succession plan, looking at the future leaders. Training and mentoring them today, but even in the last few months, we've appointed five new chiefs in the state.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to appoint as much as four more, and we've replaced a couple of commissioners that have retired this year. So we have a lot of leadership change, especially at the top. I think through succession planning and really mentoring, and guys like Todd Garr is a great mentor for some of his subordinate employees, mentoring our future leaders, I think we'll be in good hands. We have some great people in this department, both uniformed and non-uniformed. Unfortunately, with that many people possibly going out, it's going to be difficult and there's going to be some transition.
There's going to be some waves here.
Yes.
Well, most of the time when you get promoted to chief, you're at what? At what year mark are you then?
It depends. A shining star like Todd will promote a lot quicker than me. I was in my 26th year when I promoted to assistant chief.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was in the twilight of my career.
Right, so you've got like 5 years left. And I know that we've had a number of chiefs up here in the Northern Division. all great people like yourself, but they're all, you know, had just had a couple years left.
Yeah, the chief before me worked a little over a year. The chief before her worked less than a year. So yeah, it's hit and miss on especially the chief level anywhere in the state.
Well, so that's one of the big problems that we're facing now. You've been in for 31 years.
Yes.
What do you see in the next 10 years?
Chief? I think one of the things I see is I think we'll continue to have a bigger footprint on what we do. We are asked by several entities, the legislature and other entities, to take on more assignments to do more things. That coupled with the fact that a lot of local agencies are losing people. And we have stepped up and continue to assist those allied agencies. So we're getting into a lot more of the general law enforcement as we help and back up these local agencies. That coupled with, you know, there's talk of light rail and who's going to do the security on high-speed rail. You know, we do all
of we've got like 100 years to plan for that, though, right? just a little side there. Sorry. Okay.
We do all of the general law enforcement at every state facility. We have all the state infrastructure. This includes bridges. So I think that our footprint will continue to grow as we garner more and more responsibility.
Wow. Bob?
I have a question. You see the CHP helicopter dispatched quite often to assist local law enforcement. How do the finances on that work? I've heard people asking me if I knew, because obviously if you're on get a request for assistance from, say, the sheriff's office, what does money change hands, or is it a contract, or how does that work?
No,
because that is not a cheap thing to fly.
No, it's not a cheap thing, but it's an essential part of our duties, and we're funded primarily by the Motor Vehicle Account Fund. We do have some other sources of funding, but in cases like that, and it's one of our duties is to assist allied agencies. And for us up here, especially in the North State, we're the only ones with airships. So we respond. These aren't normally reimbursable contracts. It's our duty to help out these allied agencies, to help out other entities.
So if you're looking for somebody out here, you just launch and then
we do it.
It comes back out of the budget at some point. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're short officers. I mean, throughout the state, and now they're talking about expanding your footprint of what you have to do, what you have to take on.
Yes, we continue to work smarter. I mean, technology is helping, but we got to continue to work smarter, and we realize that. And take a commander like Todd, one of the busiest offices, probably the busiest office in Northern Division, and we continue to take people from him. He's losing a lot of people at the end of the year retiring. His job doesn't change. His responsibilities don't change. But fortunately for us, the officers realize that, and they work harder. They get the job done. And, Todd, I don't know if you want to comment on that, but it is difficult. But we have an obligation to the public to do that job.
Now, you know, they always talk about, you know, hey, we need to do more with less and that type of thing. And Chief's absolutely right about some technology has really helped us. Other technology at times seems to hinder us. But it really absolutely comes down. That's what I love about being out in patrol and that level of operations is it comes down to that officer in your rearview mirror. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a good thing. But, you know, that officer on the side of the road, when you're stranded and it's 106 in Redding, and I've been there. I've found, you know, elderly couples up in the canyon traveling and families and all different types of things that are really in a bad way to go. And it's about that officer in that tan uniform that gets out of that black and white car. That happens from Crescent City to Winter Haven and San Diego to Alturas and everything in between. And we're going to provide that service. And the folks just keep stepping up and making things happen for us. And we know, I've told them the cavalry's not coming, so we can't.
You are the cavalry.
We are the cavalry. And at some point, you know, we're kind of that forward operating base right now, and we just got to hold our line and do the best job we can.
Well, that leads me to something else. Rob Paletti's in here, and he's lost 10% of his force at any one time because of the fights, the physical altercations they get into. Are you all running into that same thing? Have you got like guys on like medical leave because of trying to make an arrest with meth heads and all this that you lose them?
We don't
have a lot of backup either.
We do, and actually, Chief and I have both. You know, one thing again about the Highway Patrol, we've all started out as officers working patrol, no matter, you know, from the commissioner and everything in between.
And Chief and I have both been hurt, I would say, pretty seriously in altercations on the job. I cracked a vertebrae in a fight with a drunk driver down in Red Bluff. So we have that. It's an ebb and flow type thing. When you get to some of your more senior offices, it's just a reality that, you know, when you're 48 years old or 51 years old and you're trying to fight a kid on meth, you're not always going to come out the way you did when you were 22, 23 years old trying to do that down in L.A.
Well, yes, and I tell you, I've talked to Chief Blady about that, and we have the same type of problems, and probably on a smaller scale only because we're a much larger department, but yes, I think it affects law enforcement all over.
I think it does. Yeah. We're running out of time here. I just want to thank you very much for being here today, Chief. Chief Ruben Leal is with us, heading up all of the Northern Division here of the California Highway Patrol, and Captain Todd Garr, who is the operations officer for Shasta County, but obviously has been all over also. We've gotten a lot of great information out today, and we're going to talk more about the June 11th, putting that on with where people can apply for the job for dispatcher, and then again in July where you can apply for the Highway Patrol as an officer also, and we'll talk a lot more about that. But thank you so much for being here, and thank you for you and all your people for putting your lives on the line out there every day.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate that.
Tomorrow, Brian Crane, head of the Public Works for Reading, will be here. We're going to be talking about water, where all that water is going. Did we ever find those missing millions of gallons of water? All of that, and Ted Lighty as a co-host. That'll be scary right there. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
But I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Trouble at the TSA, the focus of a Capitol Hill hearing today. Senators looking into reports that TSA staffers failed to find fake explosives just about every time government investigators sent them through airport security.
Reported failure for detecting prohibited items at checkpoints are more than troubling. They are unacceptable.
Senator Tom Carper of Delaware, John Roth is Homeland Security's Inspector General.
TSA cannot afford to miss a single genuine threat without potential catastrophic consequences. Yet, a terrorist only needs to get it right once.
Due in a Chicago courtroom in several hours, former House Speaker Dennis Hastert. He's accused of paying millions in hush money to cover up past misconduct. Hastert is charged with breaking banking laws and lying to the FBI. Also at SRNnews.com, number of job openings advertised by American employees.